Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host Larry Bluestein on 560 WQAM.
And that is us on this beautiful Monday evening, and it is a huge week coming up, kind of putting a capper on the class of 2019. We welcome you in, South Florida High School Sports Radio Show, and we are with you up until 9 o'clock. Danny G behind the glass for us, and we have, as we said, an outstanding show. We kind of take a look at everything recruiting, because for Wednesday is the used to be the only national signing day, but it is the second national signing day, and everybody will still celebrate. We have our party, as we told you last week, for all the signees. Wear your hat or a shirt that says your college at Top Golf right there at Golden Glades Interchange, 6 to 9, and we'll celebrate with you. But to get to that point, a lot of these kids who have not committed and not signed on the dotted line will have to do so. On Wednesday, and then kids slip through the cracks and holes open and kids don't make grades, and then roster spots open, scholarships become available, and we are all excited about that. So this is a huge process. The other process has started for the next class of 2020, combines, camps, junior days, everything else. Telling you guys, it's a huge process. A lot of people don't understand it, but it goes on every week, every day. It's a dead period now, but that'll certainly change, throughout the course of the year when that next exposure of events, spring football, will be huge. But a lot of decisions to be made. I know that they said 75 or 80% of the country signed on the dotted line on December 19th, 20th, whenever it was. But there'll be a lot of excitement on Wednesday, and that's what we'll talk about this evening. About 8:45 or so, a recognizable name to South Florida, just took his team to the 8A state championship game. Chris Merritt, who's the head coach at Bryant University, from the other side. We'll talk to him a little bit, about his game plan, moving forward. School up in the Northeast, quite a difference from all the talent that he's used to seeing on a daily basis at Columbus and throughout the country, or throughout the South Florida area. At 8:30, I know everybody's been waiting, I've been getting texts all day. Got to get Andrew Ivins on. He's got to let us know what the latest with the Canes. Cane fans are at that point. They're going a little bit crazy at this point. And certainly we'll talk to Andrew 8:30 or so. 8:20 FSU guys, where a lot of people, they always tell us, you got to have Corey on from Florida. You have to have everybody on. We try to get somebody on every week, but for who we didn't come on, or who didn't come on tonight, will definitely be in our wrap up of the recruiting class next week. Chris Neal will be with us, Knowles 247, about 8:20. To fill that void of everybody else who isn't with us, our first guest covers the entire state, knows recruiting as well as anybody in every facet of it, from what you have to do to be qualified to filming and evaluating. And certainly he knows what's at stake in the last couple of days, especially for the state of Florida. He watches a lot of these kids from the ninth grade, or in Sony Michelle's case. I remember that he and I got a chance to watch him as an eighth grader. Charles Fishbein from Elite Scouting Service is kind enough to join us this evening. Charles, thanks so much for taking the time. I know this is a huge time of year for everybody. I mean, a lot of people have had, their first signing day, and the kids are already enrolled in school for the most part. Now you have the second phase of this where the kids will, come in maybe after school in May or June. What's it like now? You went through one full year of this last year with the two signing days. Has it gotten better? Is it the same? Go ahead.
From a fan standpoint, it becomes a kind of like a panicky situation because they see that maybe they didn't sign everybody they were supposed to, and the fans kind of panic. It happened with a couple of teams in this state, but you know, you get the chance to regroup, and now you have a second chance to go back and go after the type of prospects you were looking for at certain positions that maybe you didn't fill those voids early on.
Miami's a roller coaster. I mean, the emotions that have come off of that campus in the last 2 months has been unlike I've ever remembered anywhere else. You went from that low point to the high point, back to the low point. Now, Manny Diaz, a new coaching staff for the most part, especially on the offensive side of the ball, comes in. And as we're coming close to signing day, I know there's not going to be any this major, major, major kids, but they're setting the table for the future with a good 2020 class, especially off their junior day.
Yeah, no, they got off to a good start. And, you know, we've seen Don Chaney's kid play now since the ninth grade. And, there's four elite backs in the state for the class of 2020, and he's one of them. And it's very important that Miami lock him down. And he has a professional future in front of him, not just college, but if he stays healthy, he looks like the guys that Miami sent to the NFL in the past, whether it's a Willis McGahee or an Edgerrin James, those type of backs. So the Miami fans should be very excited with that commitment.
Away from the 2020 and looking at this class where they really didn't, when you look at the first group, they got a couple of kids. You and I were pretty high on Keontra Smith and Takori from Chaminade, as well as the kid, the receiver kid that played in the Under Armour game, Jeremiah, from up in Jacksonville. Do they need to bring in any other kids right now, away from, I know what they need linemen, they need a quarterback desperately. I know they have Tate Martell waiting in the wings, but you have the 2019 season, Charles, that has to be played. And from a schedule standpoint, this is the year that Miami could really do stuff to get some of those positive things back. The schedule isn't really one of the toughest that they've had. So this gives an opportunity, but who goes in at quarterback?
It's anybody's guess. I mean, you had Perry last year, and people talked about Jaren Williams. I had seen Jaren Williams last spring, and I kept telling people, yeah, he's a freshman. He's still behind the other three, and it's hard for people to understand when you see a Trevor Lawrence start at Clemson and lead them to national championship. But that's the exception. It's not the rule. Trevor Lawrence and those type of players. You look at Justin Fields, he thought he'd go in and take over at Georgia, and now he's at another school less than 6 months later. So I just think expectations from the fans, they get very excited about these guys, but they got to realize a lot of them are freshmen. They have to learn how to play at the college level. It's mental. Physically, these guys could play at University of Miami, but it's adjusting to that next level. And fans just expect every one of these kids to step in and play right away, and that's just not the case.
Charles Fishbein, the Elite Scouting Services, joining us. You move up to Gainesville, and what Coach Mullins has been able to do in the year plus that he's been there now, get that program a huge bowl win over Michigan, a really good season. You take a look at their recruiting class and the way that they've been able to kind of get back to that old Gator, recruiting, where if they go into Georgia, they're going to win some battles. If they come into South Florida, they're going to do the same. Talk about what's happening up there and how they look as well.
No, I mean, you look, they came down here and took Naquan Wright. He was a player, you talk about a player that made an impact early on in his career.
Sure.
In the ninth, 10th grade. If it wasn't for injuries, I think if Naquan had stayed healthy the last 4 years and had built up that stock just like a Sony, he would have probably been a high 4 or 5 star player and been talked about nationally. But because he got injured, and then you go into the playoff game, and I look at the little things to see what type of player is. This kid sacrificed himself, moved up to fullback, and he was blocking. He was a lead blocker on some run plays. They even scored on one of the plays. So this is a kid that does whatever the coaches want. We've been very high on Naquan for a very long time. Florida came down here, and this is the type of kid that's going to go up there. He comes from a school that you go look at the history of kids that come out of Miami Gardens. There's not a lot of misses. I mean, even Alan Hearns was an underrated player. I think Naquan's one of those guys that's going to go up there and make an impact as a freshman.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I mean, I think he's really underappreciated. I talked to Gator fans and they go, who? I said, Naquan Wright, who I think, you know, they don't think he's, you know, what everybody else thinks he is. And we've seen him. So, and the one thing, too, is he dishes out punishment from his running back position as much as anybody. I think he put two DBs in concussion protocol last year. I mean, this kid.
Nice. Very physical. Everybody looks at that he's only 5'8", 5'9", and that he's short, but he's not small. He's a very compact, physical back. Yep. I mean, you look at the history of how many guys, you know, Emmitt Smith was 5'9", but he was 210, 15 pounds and was compact. Those guys they still can do very well at the college level, especially with the spread offenses now. You don't need a 230-pound back there, and I think Naquan's going to make it. Like I said, I think he's going to make an impact right away up there.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think he's, you know, he's one of these guys that he's got speed. He knows he's tremendous vision, as you said, and yeah, I think he's going to be a special. You take a look at FAU, FIU, and first of all, we'll look at FAU. You and I 2 years ago watching the bowl game said, you know what, if this guy stays around, there won't be a team in the league that'll be able to play with him. Was it more of just a transition year last year and he's getting kids back into place, or has it declined at FAU? Talk about that.
I definitely think losing Briles, who's now the offensive coordinator of Florida State, really hurt them because he had that impact as his first year. Now those guys learn the offense and they got to come in and hear a new voice, and sometimes that new voice doesn't have the same impact as the year before, and they had it going. And all of a sudden, they lost a lot of that momentum, and now they're trying to catch, you know, get it back.
And this year, Singletary's gone. They have to, you know, and the year before, Buddy Howell. So they had two marquee backs that could have been Power Five backs. You know, I mean, when everybody looked at, you know, Howell coming out of Coral Gables, that was a big back who was on the Dolphins roster for quite a bit. And Singletary, who we've watched back since high school, those are two big-time guys. They get the one thing, too, Charles, when you look at it, they get some good transfers back. I mean, they got the kid Robeson from Oklahoma. I mean, so FAU in that context will always be able to thrive. I think that Lane knows how to work the system to get, you know, a lot of JC kids in, you know, a couple of transfers here and there. And, I agree with you. I think that over time, if he continues to put the right people in the right places, they'll do well. What about FIU? I mean, this is a program that you and I have watched, I could say back since Don Strzok. I mean, you know, we watch this thing evolve through Mario and the whole gang, and things really look a lot when we went there last year. I mean, we're talking professionally run. Everything is like, you know, Butch Davis is there. I mean, what other reason would you have? Talk about that program.
He's definitely turned that program around. And one thing Butch has done is, you know, he's going after prospects that probably some would probably think that are out of their reach. And you know, they recruit the kids all year, and then all of a sudden at the end, those guys want a place close to home, and maybe they don't go to a Power Five school and they go to FIU instead. I mean, you just look at some of the guys they have this year. Lexington Joseph, I mean, we saw him run for over 200 yards on Carroll City,
right?
You know, he's a very good player. They got a wide receiver coming in from Jacksonville, Mander and Chris Mitchell, who played for a state championship. You know, they've got a lot of players that I like. I mean, Julius Pierce, who we've seen, the kid was a tight end for Sanford Seminole High School. We saw him at USF swing and shoot 2 years ago. Here's a guy that they're projecting him as an offensive tackle. So Butch is finding those guys. He always, you know, when we spoke to him one time during the spring, I know he talked about how he likes running, you know, guys that were former running backs that went to linebacker, whether it was a Dan Morgan, and he tries to find those guys that maybe they played one position, but they're versatile enough to move to that other position. So
sure. He
found, you know, this Pierce kid's one of those guys. He's a tight end, and he's 265 pounds. If they could put another 25, 30 pounds on him, they have an athletic offensive tackle that can go and play very well, not only in their conference, but when they move up to and play some of the Power Five schools.
Yep, no doubt. Charles Fishbein, Elite Scouting Services, does it every day. throughout the course of the year. Now, yesterday we had a lot of talent out there yesterday at that Under Armour event. I think that Jerry Hamilton was telling me that Orlando usually gets a lot of the kids because kids come down from South Georgia, but they had some pretty good kids yesterday. What'd you think about that?
Yeah, I just think anytime I think the kids down here get over a little sometimes slighted because there's so much talent down here. But how many of those guys yesterday that we saw that a lot of guys didn't go up to, a lot of guys didn't talk to, that 2, 3, or 3 years from now are going to be going in the first or second round of the draft? How many times have we seen that with some of these players? And it's amazing how they just keep turning out. I know he doesn't get a lot of hype nationally, but Jalen Knighton was out there.
I'm very
high on the Deerfield back. I think he's one of the best backs in the country. But there was nobody that could cover him out there.
Look how much bigger he's gotten too, which is great. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, definitely. He has the build, and that's the one thing about the players in this state is that there's so much more room to grow over the next couple of years when they actually get in a college weight program, which they're not used to.
Yep, good stuff. Charles Fishbein, Elite Scouting Services, thanks so much. Enjoy the day, Charles.
All right, have a great evening, Larry.
Good to see you. When we come back, we got a lot going on. Florida State, if you're an FSU fan, you don't want to miss it. Chris Knee, Knowles 247 will come next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports.com radio show Monday evening. Larry Bluestein, Danny G with you until 9 o'clock. Thanks so much to Charles Fishbein from Elite Scouting Services for filling us in on some of the areas of the state. And we left Tallahassee for the guy who's up there all the time. And I had to fight him off, Chris Knee. You know how Charles is when he starts talking Seminoles. I almost didn't get to your phone call. Charles Fishbein is a big FSU fan for a lot of people. No, but Chris Knee is kind enough to join us. He does this thing as well as anybody. And FSU, Chris, is a couple days away from adding to this 2019 class. Talk about that. I know the fans in South Florida, the FSU fans have been asking me, who are they going to get?
Well, they're currently ranked 16th, second in the ACC, according to our composite team rankings. They have 20 commitments as it stands right now. 18 of those are definite guys that will be in this class. There's some concern with safety Nick Cross. Penn State's trying to flip him. And defensive lineman Quayshon Fuller, Alabama's trying to flip him. I think they get at least one, if not both of those. They've put up a good fight with both of those. In Quayshon's case, I believe his mother would prefer him to stay closer to home. In Nick Cross's case, I believe he would prefer to go to FSU, but he's dealing with his parents who seem to prefer him staying closer to home, going to Penn State. His parents also, from what we understand, prefer Penn State academically. Beyond that, the main focus for them, one or two quarterbacks, Lance Legendre, John Rhys Plumlee are their main two targets at quarterback. They've had both of them on campus in the last 2 weeks. And then there's three offensive linemen they're focused on, Kamar Bell and Ira Henry. That's a battle between them and Auburn for both of those guys. And then Darius Washington, that's coming down to FSU and Miami. And at this point, I think FSU is the leader there. So those are the main two spots that they're looking to add guys. There's a few other names on the board. Alante Brown's an offensive athlete that they're dealing with. Jay Ward's a defensive back from Moultrie, Georgia, that they're dealing with. Those are guys that they're interested in. But everybody I mentioned prior to those two are more the focus of Wednesday.
Right. I mean, and you take a look, too. I mean, we flash back to the end of the season. This was the first year that the team didn't go to the bowl. We talked about that. It was kind of like nobody knew direction. At the time, they didn't have a coordinator, an offensive. Was it a defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator at the time? Was it both?
This offseason has been an offensive.
Offensive, that's right.
Kendall Bryles to replace Walt Bell, who right. The coaching job.
Well, and after that happened, and Charles had mentioned that, I mean, after that had happened, did you see the increase? Did you see a lot of these kids who were kind of on the, on that little proverbial fence go either way, or was it more for him? Because he's had a reputation. He's done some really dynamic things as an offensive mind.
Well, the main place that Kendall Brower's fingerprints might be on this class is if they land John Rhys Plumlee. That would be a nice upset victory for them over Ole Miss. He's a kid that, when they lost Sam Howell to UNC back in December and Kendall Brower got hired, he was a kid that he immediately went after. He very much is the type of quarterback that Brower has utilized in past systems at FAU, Houston, and elsewhere. And then another kid that I would say he's kind of got his fingerprints on is the Alante Brown kid. He's an offensive athlete that's capable of turning the corner and going, lighting up the scoreboard. They didn't really start looking at guys of that sort until after the Browns hire.
Chris Knee joining us, Knowles247. I know it's not going to be as usually active. I know back in the day when we were here on a Tuesday eve, like tomorrow, it was helter-skelter for everybody because it was the only signing day. Oh, this is the second year of this. How do you like this? I mean, is this something that maybe kind of, you know, hits the impact people in December and then we kind of like what we're doing now, we're waiting for guys to make their decisions? Is that what it was intended for?
Well, in FSU's case, it's been weird covering it the first 2 years because last year, obviously, there was a coaching change. So FSU's class was in heavy transition. A lot of kids backed off their commitments to FSU. When Coach Fisher left at the end of November, Coach Tager gets hired in December. They sign a light load in the early period, and then they have to go get after basically the best of the best that was available in the late period. And then this year, they recruited very heavily as though they expected to be pretty good during the regular season. Obviously, they fell well short of that, going 5-7. So their recruiting board drastically changed because a lot of those kids they pursued at the upper tier preferred winners, strong programs in the past year over programs such as FSU. So it kind of put them in a pickle where I think they're pursuing more kids right now than they had hoped to be pursuing for 2019. In general, in the national scope of it, I think it's pretty good for FSU. The student athletes who are looking to go to college.
Right.
I do wish it was earlier. I think a period prior to the start of their senior season would be better, truthfully.
Right.
I think it would separate some of the guys that get pressured into signing early and a lot of guys that truly know they're done with the process to go ahead and do it. So I do like it, but I don't know if I like the timing.
Right. Like you're talking like last week of July, I mean August?
Yeah, you know, right around the start of August, I think it would be good. For those guys that know I'm going to the school unless there's a drastic change, like a head coaching change, go ahead and get it done. I think one of the issues with December is schools are now leveraging some kids into feeling like they have to do it. And that, you know, it's kind of a weird deal where, you know, it's really not bad to wait till February for some of those mid-tier kids because their stock drastically increases with so many names coming off the board, especially blue chip type in December.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. But I do agree. I think I said it last year that if it was before the season started, and then you could just concentrate and then use this, you know, February, like in this week, you know, it's different every year. But, I mean, the first Wednesday in February, I think it's plenty of time. I mean, and to me, in December, and we had Mario Cristobal on last week, and he, 2 years ago, if you remember when they took over the job, he was in the middle of bowl week. So there's, you know, he couldn't close. I mean, he couldn't really, you know, and then the bowl accuses you of not paying attention. See, I agree with you because look at how many coaches are affected. There were a lot of coaches that are affected. If you're in a bowl game around that time or, you know, because even if you're in a 20, like on the 26th, 27th, and it happens to be the 19th or 20th, you're still leaving and, you know, preparing for the bowl. So it's distracting. So I agree because it's going to take a lot. It's taken away from what you're trying to sell and achieve. Because when you go out recruiting, you go, well, we were in this bowl and we were in that bowl. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't pay attention, you know, because I was off recruiting. Does it make sense?
No, I definitely think it would make more sense to allow it to be earlier and maybe move up the entire calendar. For kids that are academically in a good place preparing for their senior year, allow them to take earlier officials so they can get out and see schools. Plus, you know, school staffs in June and July, and I know a lot of kids visit unofficially, but there's some that don't have those means to truly get there in June and July, especially schools that are further away. Allow them to get there and have more in-depth visits where the coaching staffs are a little more relaxed and, you know, they don't have to schedule around practices and they don't have to schedule around games and dealing with current team personnel.
Right.
They can be more focused on just the potential student-athlete, the prospective student-athlete. So I definitely think changing the calendar would make sense, but we all know that the NCAA is never very quick to adjust.
No, no, they're not. Chris Neid joining us, Knowles247. In a minute or so we have left, let me ask you, you take a look now, the junior days are happening, the commitments for 2020, 2021. I mean, it's a necessary evil, I mean, because we overlap in so many. We were just talking about overlapping with recruiting in the bowl season. Now you're overlapping with recruiting and recruiting. So, I mean, you want to pay all the attention in the world to trying to close on these 2019 kids, but at the same time, your future depends on you, you know, hosting these events. How's it worked out for Florida State? Because I know Miami had their junior day and did quite well off of it.
FSU's junior day went well. They've gotten two commitments from it so far, quarterback Jeff Sims from Jacksonville Sandalwood and linebacker Steven Dix Jr., who's from Orlando Dr. Phillips. One issue they've had is because they are still chasing so many 19 kids after the early signing period, they weren't as able to go so heavily into 2020 throughout January to get kids on campus. You know, I think a lot of schools that sign 18 to 22 kids at the end of December, they're a little more ahead because they're able to focus more on 2020 and beyond during January.
Oh, nice. And now, what's it going to be like for you on Wednesday? You guys going to have a lot of coverage, wall-to-wall coverage?
Yep, we'll probably be at a couple of the announcements / signing ceremonies for FSU targets, especially in the immediate area, like up in Colquitt and over maybe west of us in Pensacola. And then we'll have a ton of stuff on the site, you know, real-time update type of stuff.
Good stuff. Chris Neid, Knowles247, check him out. He's the best. Chris, thanks so much, and kind of get some rest because I know the next couple of days are going to be kind of crazy for you and your entire team.
All right. Thanks, Blue. Good talk to you, man.
Anytime. Chris Neid, like I said, we only get the best. And so when we talk about Charles Fishbein or Chris Neid, our next guest, Andrew Ivins, who's probably the most popular guy in South Florida right now. Everybody wants to know about the U. Certainly has been a topic, and Andrew stays right on top of it. I mean, he is a must when it comes to checking out these athletes. He joins us this evening. Well, I know you're kind of this is the calm before the storm for you, Andrew, but certainly you've been on top of everything. It's an ever-changing day, like an hour-to-hour type thing. Talk about what your life has been like since you got a new head coach.
Oh, I wrote the most stories I've ever written in 1 month last month, so it's been nonstop. And then you got the junior day this past weekend, and we're rolling right into signing day here, so I'm ready for another vacation.
Yeah, no, and you know, as I talked to Chris Neid just now, we were talking about how, you know, they're trying to close on their 2019 class, although they got a pretty good jump on it with 20 early signees. Miami's more in that mode of, you know, having to fill more of those spots than FSU, but at the same time, both of them are worried about the future, and future for Miami happened yesterday at the junior day, and they did extremely well. Talk about, before we get into the 19 recruiting, replacing some of those 20 kids who originally committed but then started shaking loose, this looks like a little bit more solid group now.
I thought the day couldn't have gone any better for Miami. I mean, the 320s they picked up, Don Chaney Jr., Darius Tennyson, and Jaden Francois, those are all guys the staff's extremely high on. Like you said, just getting Jaden Francois back in the fold, I think, is a big statement from Miami. We kind of live in this day and age now where kids kind of are very reactive, and he's one of those guys that decommitted when Diaz took that Temple job. But just for Manny and Ephraim Banda to come back in and get him, I think, says a lot. And the one that really, really just impressed me was Don Chaney Jr. I know a lot of people, we've been saying this for the past year now, he's kind of been considered a Miami lean, but he was close to Mark Richt. He was very close to Thomas Brown, who was his primary recruiter. Thomas Brown is now the running back coach at South Carolina. And guess what? Don Chaney's dad went to South Carolina. So I thought this recruitment was going to kind of play out a little bit longer. I didn't think it was a guarantee he was coming to Miami. So for Miami to lock him up on Sunday was just huge. You know, they want to win Dade County, and they got two of the top juniors that day. And then Tennyson, the kid from the Space Coast, I think
Rockledge.
Yeah, Rockledge.
Yeah, he's nice.
He's another Jaquan Johnson, I think.
Yeah, yeah, he's got a chance to be. I mean, that's a, you know, that's pretty good. But, you know, you were just talking about Achaney. I think his dad also remembered that the flights into Colombia are not so easy to get, you know? I mean, so it's a lot easier to be, you know, close to home. And you know, his dad did a, you know, great job. He's done a great job at Berlin, I remember, back in the day. And, yeah, that is a great get. I mean, I don't think people really comprehend. This is a kid is a two-time defending state high jump champion. So he's more than football. And he's a really good kid, an academic type kid, and certainly that's the class. But everybody now has, you know, been texting me the last couple of hours, and you know they knew you were going to be on talking about Wednesday. I mean, what's going to unfold Wednesday? Are there kids that are slam dunks, or there's kids that are huge reaches? Are we dreaming? What are some of the things that Miami fans could look forward to maybe on Wednesday?
So there's probably about four or five kids for everyone to keep an eye on. Obviously, the top one is Chris Bogle, the local pass rusher out of Cardinal Gibbons, the Alabama commit. He just spent 2 days in Coral Gables. He was there for a second official visit. He was the only kid on campus, and he got a ton of time with the coaching staff. So all the latest intel suggests that he's pretty confused about what he wants to do. And there's a lot of people that think he could do anything. I know contacts at every school seem to think that their team's in it. We'll see. I mean, I've had him pegged to Miami forever. I think he wants to be at Miami.
Right.
But for some reason, he's still held up on what he wants to do. So that's going to be the big one to keep an eye on. The other one is Christian Williams, a cornerback out of Alabama. He's another Alabama commit, not expected to sign with Alabama. A lot of people are kind of projecting into LSU, but I wouldn't write off Mike Rump in the Hurricanes just yet. I think he did an excellent job when they got him on campus a few weeks ago.
Nice.
And I think that Miami's still alive there. I'm not buying the LSU. And then the other kid I'm sure you talked about with Chris Knee, Darius Washington, the offensive lineman from up there in the Panhandle. Miami's been after him forever. I think there was a time when he was definitely going to flip to Miami, but that late offer from Florida State is kind of throwing a wrench into things, so it's making it a little bit interesting.
Right. And obviously he's a kid that they've been coveting. But Miami's done, since they've added the new coaches, and I've tried to explain this to people, all the coaches they added have ties somewhere. I mean, they have people that they've known that they've recruited, areas that they recruit. So I'm sure they're going back into some of their familiar, you know, areas to see what can happen. Anything kind of pop up on that? Any of the new coaches coming back with anybody?
Yeah. It's funny you bring that up. This is one I haven't even wrote about yet. But Christian Williams, that kid I just talked about,
right,
he committed to Alabama. I know he actually, for a fact, spoke with Dan Enos on the phone over the weekend. And Coach Enos, obviously, he came from Alabama, and he was just explaining the transition going from one school to the other. So there's been some of that. I think with Darius Washington, the most appealing thing about Miami is Butch Berry just having that NFL experience. And most of these kids have dreams of playing in the NFL. I think a lot of them are more aware that it's not likely, but I think if you know, the chances aren't really in your favor, it's just so difficult to get to that level. But if you have a coach on your coaching staff who's been there, who has worked with those linemen, I think it opens up their eyes a little bit, and I think that's really helping Miami with Darius.
Andrew Ivins joining us, 247 Sports, Inside the U. He's busy at all the events. I know I didn't see you at Under Armour because you were down at Junior Day, but you've seen a lot of those kids. You're one of the guys that go around the state if there's a target Miami's looking at. I know that we had talked about Lingard. You were one of the first to really watch him instead of talking about him from home from a video. I mean, you were there. You got a chance to see, you know, his reaction to things and how he was. And you look at, and I know a guy that you and I that share the same, you know, zest for, the kid Jafar Harvey, who I think is just going to be, just come right off of the, you know, out of Vero and just be an instantaneous star. I mean, I know that he has a lot to learn, but at the same time, this is one of those kids. You look at this class now, and I said this before to somebody. Now, you look at a school like Alabama or LSU or any of the Ohio States, five freshmen are not going to have impact, you know, in their recruiting class. It's just going to be impossible. You know, a handful, maybe one, two, three, because they're just too stacked. See, that's the thing Miami has right now that I could look at, you know, everybody from Smith to the Jeremiah to Harvey to a couple of the other kids who are going to see some action somewhere as freshmen. How important is that?
Hey, I think Manny Diaz has said it multiple times on the radio. I think right now Miami only has seven seniors on the roster, so there's definitely playing time available and opportunities. And I think in hindsight, they might have wished they could have got more of these kids on campus as early enrollees. I mean, you mentioned the two, Jeremiah Payton and Jafari Harvey.
Right.
Those are the only guys that are on campus now going through spring ball.
But the other kids are private schools. That's probably right.
Yeah, it was private. And it's funny, Manny told me that a couple months ago, and I asked him about it. He's like, well, it's just kind of the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
You know, some years you're heavy on private schools, some years you're not, and that's really what it is. I mean, they got every public school kid that they could in. But they do have a lot of guys, I think, that they will be able to plug and play, but at the same time, I think they knew they had to go out and get some veterans, which is why they went to the transfer portal and brought in the guys that they did.
Yeah, and you're gonna be probably one of the biggest watches for fans on National Signing Day. How are they gonna follow you? Give them all the ways that, you know, whether it's via 247 or your own personal Twitter account. Let everybody know, because you're gonna be blowing up, man.
Yeah, hopefully. The new Miami, man. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Andrew_Ivan. I'll be at Cardinal Gibbons bright and early Wednesday morning for the Chris Bogle decision, and we'll have plenty of stuff up on the site, InsideTheU.com, or you can find it at Miami.247Sports.com.
Good stuff. Andrew, as always, man, thanks so much. We'll be watching and following. We'll be watching you and following tonight, because I know that you're always breaking something. You're the leader of the pack, and everybody's watching you, man. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me. I will tell you later.
Anytime. Andrew Ivins, one of our go-to people, knows his stuff, guys, knows his stuff. Not afraid to work, not afraid to go to places. That's why he's a special guy. When we come back, old friend, Chris Merritt, who's now up at Bryant University, Rhode Island, man. They're probably jumping because they're Patriot fans. Don't even get me started. We'll be right back.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports Radio show for a Monday evening. Larry Bluestein along with Danny G. As we take you up until 9 o'clock, thanks so much to Andrew Ivins from 247 Sports and Inside the U, and also Chris Nee from Knowles 247 for catching us up on what's going on as far as recruiting. Don't forget, on Wednesday evening, we'll be at the Top Golf over at the Golden Glades Interchange right there in Miami Gardens from 6 to 9. If you're somebody who is a signee, just wear your cap, and we'll get you fed and some nice soft drinks and games and the whole thing. So we'll do that, as well as follow our coverage on SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. That's SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, or just go to WQAM.com, and we are right there. So signing day 2 days away. You just get a college job. You're on that crash course, and who are you? You are Chris Merritt, who is the new head coach up at Bryant University in Rhode Island. He's kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, we've had you on the show many a time, but this is a hugely different role now, and obviously this is something that you embrace, you deserve, and how is it going in Rhode Island? Are you not spending that much time there?
Well, I just passed my test. I just passed my test earlier in the week, so I was able to get out this weekend, but it's been a blast so far. It's been a lot of fun.
Different level, obviously, different things going on. Same philosophy. It's still, as they, you know, in Hoosiers, they measure the basket, and it's still the same thing as it is at home. It's still football. different kind of role here, being college as opposed to high school. Talk about that. And what was the determining part for you? I know you love coaching. I know you love coaching the youth kids and through your USA football and such. But what said to Chris Merritt, this is the right spot?
Well, that's a real good question. I was surprised when I got the phone call about 2 days before the state championship game. And they wanted to start a conversation, and we talked and interviewed. And to be honest with you, I didn't think that I really had a strong chance. But it just worked out. They made the offer. And before I accepted, you know, I did a lot of research on the school. I had sent several kids here in the past. So I knew it was a very solid school academically. You know, I knew that if I was going to do something in college, that I wanted to be able to have the opportunity to recruit the academics someplace. And this place has a strong business background, strong academics behind it. But then the other thing was facilities. You know, I wanted to make sure I could recruit the facilities behind it. And sure enough, we have the finest facilities in the Northeast up here. We have a full 120-yard indoor practice facility, a weight room that rivals the one we have at Columbus, and over 10,000 square feet. And it's just, you know, given those two factors, that makes those are recruiting battles I can win.
Yeah. And being in, obviously, you want to keep your recruiting base in that Northeast area and keep your strongholds where you can get good attendance and alumni can come back and support you and all. Where is your, as you've seen now, obviously you just got there, but where do you figure where your strength will be as far as the locations? Obviously you're not far from New York City, you're not far from Boston. Talk about that.
Sure. Now, this school traditionally has hit pretty well in the Northeast Corridor. That goes from Boston down to Washington, D.C. But you look at all the schools, all the quality academic schools in this area with all the Ivies, some of the other Patriot League schools. You know, you're competing with a lot of guys who have very strong academics like yourself. So we've had to expand the footprint a little bit, get into New Jersey, get into Virginia. We're going to get into Atlanta. And then, of course, you know, we're going to flood Florida. I fell in love with that state. I was there for 18 years. There's just a difference. There's something different in the water. We got to get that up here. We got to get that competitive. You know, my friends all the time used to tell me, hey, you know, Chris, what's the difference between Florida and everywhere else? And just the kids are just so competitive down there. It's unreal. And that to me is what we got to pull. I got to have a football program with that mentality up here.
You know as well as I do, I mean, getting people on your campus, having events. You and I talked about this where when we went to University of Miami or FIU, just, you know, and I always said to you, I said, so important to get those kids and their parents on your campus to see what you have beyond athletics because, as you mentioned, strong academics. You're so used to seeing all these events run throughout the summer that your kids go to, that you guys go to. How is your attack going to be up there? Because they're not as heavy on those off-season 7-on-7s and, you know, travel teams and things like that. What would be your – because you're probably going to be the first person that's been there that has all this background and, you know, off-season things like, you know, with whether it's USA football or 7-on-7 or line camps. How do you attack that area? And do you think they'll embrace, what you're bringing up there?
I do. I really think that this school wants to continue to expand, which is another reason why I took the job. And I'm going to tell you that they might not have done 7-on-7 in the past, but guess what?
guess what they're doing now.
Whether or not I can get teams from South Florida up here, I don't know. But, man, I tell you what, I may just have to be selective. It was great when I first got the job because I think every high school coach in Dade County reached out to me in
nice.
Some form or other.
Yeah, no doubt. Chris Merritt's joining us. He's a new head coach at Bryant University. I saw the promotional picture that we ran on the thing today, and this is big for them too. I mean, this is a guy in yourself, as you said, 17 years here. Your background as a football player and coach, Indiana, a lot of people that that know the game, and that's been your advantage. You're strong in your knowledge of the game and in the rules. rules and the teachings of it. I mean, that's got to be kind of a novelty in an area like that. I mean, because you don't have any marquee schools. I mean, you have Brown and obviously Rhode Island and some of the schools in like Boston College. But it's just that you're bringing a whole different type of perspective into a school that's been there but hasn't really, you know, shot the afterburners yet. And you're ready to do that. And obviously, I'm looking at all the schools. I was looking today at you know, the high schools in your area, and there are. You got a lot of high schools in Rhode Island and right off of Rhode Island into Massachusetts. So, I mean, it shouldn't be hard for you to put together a 24 team and about 150 linemen a couple of times during the summer.
Oh, no. Well, the school has never struggled to get numbers in camp. They're just typically the New England kids. You know,
right.
You know, the whole New England area between Connecticut, Massachusetts, even Vermont, Delaware, but to Maine, all the way down. You know, they have had no issue getting kids into camp. You know, the football up here is different. You know, we're going to have to be selective about what we take position-wise and go outside our area for the spots that we just can't get locally. And,
yeah.
And that's where Florida plays into the mix.
Coach Chris Merritt joining us. Talk about the team that you know, I know you haven't had a chance to really see, but, I mean, I'm sure you've watched film. I'm sure there's a lot of input. What was left to you, you know, from a standpoint of kids returning?
Well, I think, you know, we had our first few team workouts. We're just now getting to know the team very well. They really, you know, these kids want to win, and these kids really – it's funny. I've been working with for the last 18 years kids that were 14 to 18 years old. Now they're 18 to 22. There's not any difference. I mean, to be honest with you,
right.
They're still kids. Kids want to be coached. Kids want to. They want to win. They want the discipline. And they've responded. They've responded well. You know, they know that we've got to change the culture here, and it's not going to be it's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Yeah.
And we've got to change the way we go about business, the expectations. You know, I brought up, it's funny, the Columbus people are going to come up here, they're going to crack up because everything we said down there, it's all over the walls up here. You know, the message doesn't change. It's expect to win. It's the way we go about things. You know, we're going to not beat ourselves. We're going to be coached. And we're going to play good football.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, we wouldn't expect anything less. And obviously, like you said, Florida is one of those areas. I mean, you could in every school, you have to have a couple. You have to interject, you know, a few of these kids from Florida with the ice water in their veins, and kids who, you know, they're just used to this. You know, on a Friday night, they're used to the Northwestern Columbus type of atmospheres. I mean, that's what they are born on, and obviously to have a couple of them in your program. I mean, I preach that all the time. You, no matter where you are, I mean, look at the kids out west at Utah. I mean, they went and got the kid Hundley from Hallandale and Moss and all those guys, mm-hmm. the same thing. You have to do that. The Florida kids, as you mentioned, are a different breed, but you are in one of those areas. I mean, you are in, I would say if you took a 100-mile radius of where you are, there's some kids. I mean, you know, because we're talking into, you know, and I think Massachusetts is an area. Now, obviously, you have a lot, as you mentioned, a lot of colleges that are in the same academic and as you are, and they're going after the same players. But I think what you got is, I think you have a good program, and looking at that school and a lot to offer from an educational standpoint, a lot of graduates that are in key spots and can help the kids after school. And to me, at the end of the day, Coach, that's the bottom line right there.
No, 100%. And that's, I call this place, you know, a Columbus that's grown up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, this is a school that has a strong alumni backing. Our kids go off of a Bryant degree, and they're making over $60,000 a year.
Nice.
As a 22-year-old, the graduate school deal is up over $80,000. So this is a very strong school and what it does for kids. And you're right. We're going to have, you know, our meat and potatoes is going to be up in this area. We're going to get the kids that are local. We're going to recruit the heck out of them. But, you know, we need to drop some spice in there.
I hear you. I mean, you got to do it. You got to. I mean, you know the drill. It's simple to say, but hard to carry out sometimes. But I know you'll do it, and we'll keep checking in with you. And if there's anything you need, let us know.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, I've only been going at it for 3 days now, or excuse me, about 3 weeks now, and we only could sign a few kids.
Well,
but I got a few from down there. I'm excited for it to happen. So
excellent. Well, when you sign them, let us know who they are, and we'll certainly get the word out.
Will do. Thank you very much, Larry.
Anytime. Coach Chris Merritt, new head coach at Bryant University, which brings to an end another tremendous show. Danny, thanks for doing what you've done. Charles Fishbein from Elite Scouting Services, Chris Neve from Knowles 247, and Andrew Ivins from 247 Sports. Have a great week. We're back next week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.